much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I know, right?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I've never felt so good in my life. This feels so good. It feels so good to be alive when Kevin's on vacation.
I wouldn't dance for another. I wouldn't dance for another. Groove is in the high.
Not unhealthy, real quick. That, okay, that's, yeah, that's weird. That is well out of the mainstream.
Get in my vagina.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what they say, you can't polish a turd.
Roll another one.
Don't get registered a vote.
Lots just like the other one.
I have reason to believe that this it was sexual.
To be about to quit.
How do the ladies resist that rap?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
Roll another one.
It's all good, man. We still gonna have the after party.
Just like the other one.
Beat a dead horse till it's even deader.
This one seems to be about sense.
Thank you, I like you, I like sex.
I don't have another sense.
Chicks love Wang Bone. Why do you think they have strap-ons and things in that nature?
I say the White House is still white, you know what I'm
saying? Just pass it around.
Did you see the memo about this?
And now a CBS special presentation.
And now.
Man, he goes to the doctor and says, Doctor, I'm having trouble at home with my love life. What will I do? He says, take off 20 pounds. Run 10 miles a day. Man calls him 2 weeks later. Doc, took off the 20 pounds. I've been running 10 miles a day. Well, how's your love life? I don't know. I'm 140 miles away.
Our feature presentation.
Ah, they don't make them like the great Henny Youngman anymore, do they?
That's a jewel.
Try to go out on the vacation strong, Lisa.
Are you? Okay.
Try to end with the A stuff.
I can't tell exactly, but all right.
The best material. Hey, welcome in, party people, to yet another all-new Kevin Bean Show, this time for a Friday. It feels like it might be the 28th of June.
Yes.
Or poon, as we used to say in the old days.
Yeah.
Hey, this is fascinating, by the way. Just yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we had a brand new internet roundup. And we were talking about that video that somebody made, talking about the cure to depression. All these people were shown in this video talking about how depressed they are. And they just, their lives are so lackluster. They lost the will to live. They have trouble getting out of bed. They can't get motivated. They can't get dressed. They can't work. They can't love. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
Why are they so depressed? Well, someone makes a suggestion for them that changes their lives. Remember, here's a clip we played yesterday.
Have you heard of pizza?
No. What's pizza?
What I do?
You put it in your mouth. I feel alive. I don't know whether to eat it or
pizza. You don't know if you want to eat it or
So I don't either. Pizza's great.
Pizza is maybe the best food ever. And apparently that's what's needed to cure depression. So we learned that lesson yesterday. So then I come in this morning, and here's the story that I see out of South Carolina. A man parks his car on the side of a bridge in South Carolina, the Arthur Ravenel Jr. Bridge, at around 6:50 Monday morning. 911 calls start rolling in. Several witnesses report the unidentified man wearing a green T-shirt. I'm not sure why they mentioned that.
Okay.
Has climbed the concrete barrier and is talking on his cell phone. He's holding onto the cable, looking like he's ready to jump, one caller says. There's no other reason for him to be there. Well, we've long said, Lisa, that if you're going to commit suicide, please do it in your own home on your own time and don't involve the rest of the city.
And because certainly don't snarl traffic. It's so annoying.
5 hours traffic was snarled, a police stand-up, as that bridge was closed, by the way. Police show up. They try to talk him down. The standoff lasts 5 hours. At some point, a police officer phones the local pizza parlor and orders the man a pepperoni pizza. They bring it down to him, and within 15 minutes, the man is off the bridge and happily eating pizza in the back of the police car.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So maybe there's something to pizza is the cure to depression. He's standing up there on the bridge going, I've got no reason to live. I'm going to kill. Wait, what? Pepperoni? That looks pretty good.
What do I smell? Oh, man. Is that extra cheese? Yes.
Fantastic.
How about that?
He just needed a pizza.
Maybe that's all that was needed. Maybe when you're sad, and it looks like Beer Mug has been sad a lot looking at his body, maybe when you're sad, you just eat a pizza. Maybe that's the answer.
I'm going to try that.
Or two or three, right, Muggs?
Four.
Whatever it takes.
Five.
The pizza parlor, by the way, that made the life-saving pie is called Andolini's, and they're getting all sorts of love for saving this man's life. The man who made the pizza says, I've been here for 9 years and nothing like this has ever happened before, but I'm not going to take credit for what happened. I was just doing my job.
Oh, isn't that so American of him?
A happy ending for everybody involved, except for the people who were, you know, sitting in that traffic jam for 5 hours because the guy couldn't decide whether to jump or not.
Look, that guy should buy them a pizza.
If you do insist on jumping,
yes,
do it as soon as you get up there. Just go to the bridge, get out of your car, walk to the side, and jump.
Yes.
None of this 2, 3, 4, 5 hour nonsense where you inconvenience everybody else, because the rest of us have things to do later today. You don't.
Good point.
Right?
Right.
All right. So pizza saves lives. Let's talk about today's all new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
I'm going to kick your ass. You don't shut up for a second, all right?
Wow.
Just talk about the show.
And what a show it is. Ralph Garman is here. That means he'll review movies he hasn't seen with the Movie Beat for you next hour. Also, the latest edition of Jimmy Kimmel's Lie Witness News. You know how great this is. Remember he went out and he talked to people about Coachella, about bands that didn't exist. He does it's a whole series on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Well, he went out this week to Staples Center where Justin Bieber was performing.
Yes.
And started asking the kids' opinion on terrible things that Justin Bieber had done, all of which were made up. And to a person, every one of them defended whatever terrible thing Justin Bieber did. It's the latest Jimmy Kimmel Live Witness News. It's so funny. You want to hear that coming up later on in the show. Michael McDonald, the comedian, is going to be joining us in studio today. We also have Scott Mosier. He's the producer of an excellent new documentary called A Band Called Death, about a group you've never heard of but should. It's fascinating. Got more tickets for the Lone Ranger you can win on the program today. And we're going to do the grand prize drawing. Send someone to the Night of a Lifetime at 9 Inch Nails at Staples Center. This is the helicopter ride, a suite at the Marriott, the best seats in the house. We got the grand prize drawing for that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next right after this. So, Ralph, this being the last Kevin and Bean show before the holiday vacation, is it going to be tight and professional? We're going to go out strong?
No.
Or is it going to be sloppy and off the rails and we'll limp across the finish line?
Neither. Let's just get through it. Let's just get through it.
Let's not worry about how it goes. Let's just do it.
Put your head down and power forward and just finish it. That's all. Just get it done.
Just talk fast.
I, as a broadcaster, can in no way condone this.
No, well.
Just, if we talk fast enough, 10 o'clock will be here sooner.
Just lots of music, a lot of songs. And just, ha-ha, funny voice, ha-ha, just go forward.
We should have a party machine today if the man wasn't trying to keep us down. That would have been the way to go.
Perfect.
Just you could start drinking. It'd be awesome.
A lot of time.
Oh, he's drinking. Don't worry.
All right. First showbiz beat of the day now. Here's our friend Ralph.
This is a bad idea. They've announced the latest of the 80s cartoons. It's just going to get a big screen treatment. Looks like Captain Planet and the Planeteers. He's going to be up on the big screen.
I'm no expert on the superheroes, but was that the ecology-minded hero?
Yes, Captain Planet. Hello. He's saving the planet.
When the five powers combine, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet.
Go, Planet!
Does he have any powers?
Oh,
the power of recycling or what?
Being so dumb.
I don't know.
He was given powers by Gaia, the Earth spirit, in order to protect the planet from polluters.
Obviously.
So what does he do? He just goes around and yells at people that are throwing stuff away that should be recycled?
No, he would stop polluters from doing stuff. He's very effective.
You are unclear on the concept as well, I take it.
I know, Captain Planet. There was five teenagers from all around the world. Somebody from North America, Africa, Europe, Asia, and South America. And then they would get together, and when they got together, they could summon Captain Planet. And he would come, and he would stop, you know, Dr. Blight or Duke Nukem or Loot and Plunder or one of those bad guys and stop.
Okay.
You don't know, man.
I don't know.
So, looks like a live-action motion picture is coming to a big screen near you.
But we don't have to go see that, right?
Yeah, you do, if you love the planet.
Yeah.
You know who did the voice of the character? Initially, when the first went in the air? You don't know? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Tom Cruise.
Really?
No.
Yeah, he was the voice of Captain Planet.
Huh. Yeah. Represent!
I doubt he'll be reprising his role in the major motion picture. All I can think of is the Captain Planet live-action web series starring Don Cheadle, if you've ever seen that or Funny or Die.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, no, yes, I have.
You have to check it out if you've never seen it. It's like, what would happen if there's a live-action Captain Planet series, and Captain Planet just starts kicking ass and taking names, like turning people into trees and just effing people up left and right. And the kids are like, oh, my God, Captain Planet, you're losing it. It's very, very funny. James Gandolfini, they said goodbye to him yesterday. His funeral was
Where's he going?
Yesterday. Going to the great Bada Bing in the sky. Everybody showed up. Of course, Sopranos creator David Chase was there. He was one of the four eulogies that were given yesterday. Ida Turturro, who played his sister, was one of the first of the cast to arrive, but shortly afterward, Edie Falco, Joe Pantoliano, Dominic Chinese, Steve Buscemi, they all showed up. Even New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made an appearance. So, apparently, by all accounts, it was a beautiful affair, and lots of tears and lots of laughter telling stories about James, and it was a nice send-off for him.
I heard David Chase's speech was quite eloquent. I marked it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but apparently he had some beautiful words to say about the man.
Also in attendance was Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin seems like a jolly fellow, doesn't he? Like a very happy-go-lucky, very funny, very easygoing.
But he gets angry politically.
Easygoing, nothing really rattles him, likes the press, right?
That got a lot of patience with the paparazzi, I know that.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Alec, I thought we were buddies. Anyway, someone made the mistake of writing an article about James Gandolfini's funeral. He was in attendance with his wife. That his wife was tweeting during the funeral.
Uh-oh.
That she was writing about shopping or something. And that was not apparently the case. And that sent Alec Baldwin off on a Twitter rant, the likes of which I have not seen in a long, long time. A Bynes-esque Twitter rant, if
I
you will.
I may have to follow him.
You should and must read these. They're magical. Let me just read you some of them about this guy. George Stark is his name. He's a British writer, writes for the Daily Mail. And Mail Online, apparently, was where he published this story. He said, oh, well, we were following everyone's tweets, and apparently Alec Baldwin's wife was tweeting about shopping and smoothies and stuff during the funeral, which apparently was not the case. But here's some of the tweets Alec unleashed after that story.
F word, MF word, yes. S word, G word, D word, GD word.
Keep that standing by. My wife did not use her phone in any capacity at our friend's funeral. Now F this Twitter, and good luck to all of you who know the truth. Then he followed that up with, I'm going to find you, George Stark, you toxic little queen, and I'm going to F you up.
Whoa.
I want all my followers and beyond to straighten out this effing little bitch, George Stark. Then he gives his email address. George Stark, you lying little bitch, I'm going to F you up. Let me see. Another one was, I'd put my foot up your effing ass, George Stark, but I'm sure you'd dig it too much.
Ouch.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. I don't have a publicist anymore, he tweeted. I fired them. How much of this S are people supposed to take with these effing blatant lies every day? So, apparently not pleased.
And then he quit Twitter again, right?
I believe he did quit Twitter, yeah.
Like he so often does.
But he'll be back.
So
he'll
cranky. Be back.
So, you know, never mind. Just say, you just draw attention to that story. What do I do?
I know.
Right. You've made it a story now because you went off.
I certainly wouldn't have heard about
nobody
it.
Nobody follows George Stark. Nobody cares. Everybody would have been like, next. But now it's a thing. And more bad tweets. Amanda Bynes is at it again. Yesterday, she called out Zac Efron You want to?
Is he ugly?
You want to guess what she said about him? Zac Efron has an ugly face. She tweeted yesterday.
That's the worst.
The worst thing you can do.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And in more talentless whore news, Farrah Abraham has announced that she is making a docu-soap about her life.
Ugh.
Because she thinks her fans want to follow her life more closely.
Oh, she needs to go away.
The working title is Finding Farrah, From Teen Mom to Adulthood, Where Is She Now?
It's only been like a year.
And we heard from her yesterday,
yes,
by the way.
We know right. exactly
we don't need to
where
catch up.
Is.
We know you just got new boob implants. You were posing on the beach. You had still had your stitches in while you were showing off your cans for photographers. We know exactly where you've been. We'd like you to go away.
Yes.
Is what we'd like to happen.
I don't know why I was so misguided to think that the big payday for that porn video was so that she could get retire from the public limelight, go away, and just raise her kid and just be a person.
It has nothing about to do about money. She's desperately, she feeds off of constant attention. She cannot live without it.
Is she coming up with all these ideas every week, or do you think she has some sort of Svengali who is directing her on what her next move should be?
I don't know. She sure seems self-motivated, in my opinion.
Get naked, you strange whore!
She claims that a lot of her fans admire her strength through all the bad press.
Who are these people?
You know, all of her fans, Lisa.
No!
And of course, she added she's hoping to eventually run a very successful restaurant chain.
No!
After she gets her master's.
That's right. It's all about the restaurant touring for her. Really.
No!
All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly Pickler. She was on American Idol, and then she became a country singer.
Yeah.
I believe, and I did not follow it, but I believe she may have won Dancing with the Stars most recently as well, Ralph.
Oh, my God. There's too much going on.
Yeah,
these
I know.
People. She's 27 years old today. Mark Stomer of The Killers. He's the bass player for that band. 36 years old today. Tim Norwind of OK Go is 37. Our buddy Rob Dyrdek.
Aww.
Or Rob Durden.
Rob Durden.
If you,
it's Kevin Wilson.
Kevin Rodder. He's 39 years old today. John Cusack turns 47. Mary Stuart Masterson, a very lovely and talented actress, is also 47 today. Kathy Bates is 65. And legendary comedian, director, rock on tour, Mel Brooks celebrates his 87th birthday.
Mel!
87 still as sharp and as funny as ever.
I don't know who that is.
You do, Kevin. Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, old.
Too old. Too old. Old movies for me. Too old.
Kevin, God damn it.
Spaceballs? Was that reason enough? No. Don't know. That's too easy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dig that song the most. It's called Harlem. The band is New Politics. They played the K-Rock Weenie Roast a while back, and they were terrific. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. Hot enough for you, Lisa?
Yes, it's hot enough for me. And
I
you know
to be
what?
The first to
I know
ask.
How to drink water.
Well, you've clearly been watching the news where they've been trying to tell
There's
you how to survive
news
the
tips,
heat wave.
Yes, on how to drink water.
Look, I know that it gets hot every summer. That's why it's summer. But let me just give you some temperatures that are expected to be happening over the next few days in the West, okay? Death Valley is expecting to hit 130.
Now, for the
first time,
there.
For the first time since July of 1913, they think they might hit 130 sometime on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. It's going to be well into the 120s, might hit 130. Bullhead City, Arizona, Blythe, California, Palm Springs, all forecast to be in the low 120s every day this weekend.
That's rough.
Phoenix is in the 110s. Las Vegas is predicted to be 117.
Oh, my God.
Locally, 114 is predicted in the Antelope Valley. We have listeners there. 108 in the mountains, 106 in Santa Clarita, San Gabriel, and San Fernando valleys. Today is going to be the coolest day because there's a little bit of a marine layer,
yeah.
But that's going to be gone, and then the whole rest of the weekend, it's just going to be as hot as it gets. Now, you made fun of, I know how to drink water. Clearly, you've been watching the news, right?
Yes. Jeez, I'm getting beat to death.
Because that's all they tell you about on the news is, hey, try to go where it's air-conditioned. Hey, drink some water. And, of course, they do have some serious good tips about not leaving your pets in the car for even a minute,
yes.
For checking on old people. But we wanted to check in with, speaking of old people, our old friend Doug Kriegel, who you remember for years and years and years we checked in with from Channel 4, KNBC TV. He's retired now, but every once in a while they bring him back into action to cover an important story like the heat wave. And I believe the great Doug Kriegel joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Kriegel, are you there?
A high pressure.
system over Southern California means a life-threatening heat wave for the next 5 or 6 days.
Yes, it's going to be very hot, Doug, and I'm actually worried about you because I know in the past you've had trouble breathing. How are you handling the heat?
I'm just fine. I'm out here, and it's very, very warm already.
It is actually pretty warm. Even for this morning, it's actually kind of hot.
I picked a bad day to wear my wool herringbone suit, I think.
Yes. So what kind of coverage will we see from you all weekend long?
It's going to be hot.
It is going to be hot, right.
You need to take steps to protect yourself and your loved ones because it's going to be very, very hot.
What kind of steps are you recommending for your viewers and our listeners?
Stay cool.
Right?
Right?
I kind of know that.
Drink plenty of fluids.
All right. Fluids are good advice. Absolutely.
Get outside in the midday sun and exercise vigorously.
What? No, that's wrong, Doug.
Children and the elderly inside your car with the window tightly rolled up so the heat won't get in.
No, you have those backwards. That's not how it works at all.
If you don't hear from the elderly or your neighbors, don't bother to check up on them. They're probably fine.
You're giving terrible advice here, Doug. Actually, it's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing.
If you're heavily overweight or haven't exercised in a long time, start running now.
Mugs.
Again, none of this. Oh, actually, that one, Mugs, you
right?
should do.
Yes.
Get rid of any excess water in your body by sweating as profusely as possible and depriving yourself of any sort of moisture.
Have you checked any of these suggestions with a doctor, Doug?
These are all things I'm saying to idiots. Hopefully, they'll take advantage of that, and that will thin the herd. Because if you don't know how to stay cool by now, go F yourself.
Wow, that's strong words from a man on the street. Listen, one of the things that I love that you did for all those years on Channel 4, and I hope you're going to continue doing that today, is to talk to people on the street about whether they think it's hot or not.
I'm going to ask them tips on staying cool. Right. Hopefully lots of people recommend frozen yogurt. I recommend sitting on a block of ice and having my balls just dangle inside of
me. Doug has a little bit of a devil-may-care attitude today doing the news, doesn't he?
I'm retired and I just don't give an ass anymore.
How awesome is Florence, by the way?
She's the best.
Need more ukulele music. I know that much. I don't care much for the machine, but I do love that Florence. That is Dog Days Are Over here on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It's Friday. That means it's Ralph Garman time and the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
What a perfect weekend to go to the movies. It's going to be 400 degrees.
Yes.
So you go to a nice air-conditioned movie theater and you get your tall, frosty gallon of Diet Coke in one of those giant buckets they serve, and you get some popcorn, and you kick back and you watch something that's just entertaining and light and summertime fun.
I say go in at 10 a.m. when they open and just stay and see as many movies at the multiplex as you can. Come back out like after 10 p.m.
Done.
I wish there was something this weekend that would entice you in a movie theater, but I think you're going to be hard-pressed. Here's what's available in limited release. There is a film from director Neil Jordan, who I like enormously. But this looks like a downer. This looks like a grim, grim story. It's about it's called Byzantium, and it's about the residents of a coastal town. And these two mysterious women show up to a local resort, and apparently the secret that they share leads to deathly consequences for everyone around them. Not exactly your feel-good summertime fare. Here are some clips from the trailer to Byzantium.
My name is Eleanor Webb. My mother lives on human blood and has done for 2 centuries.
You have been condemned.
I am 16 forever. It's my burden. Don't you sometimes crave to tell the truth?
There is a code. We survived by Eleanor. Keep it.
I am Eleanor Webb. I've given you my secret. I've told you how I live.
Too much whispering.
A lot of whispering. A lot of vampires whispering. Gemma Arterton's in it, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That changes everything.
She gets naked. The documentary, we're going to talk to the producer of this documentary later on today, Scott Mosier, my buddy. It's called A Band Called Death, about one of the original punk rock bands, a trio named Death. And what makes them unique, other than the fact that they were sort of at the very cusp of the punk music movement is that these dudes were black. You don't think about a lot of black punk acts.
Nope.
And imagine how tough it is to be black in Detroit in the 1960s and not play R&B music.
Right. You're not doing Motown. You're doing punk. No one cared. No one was interested. And even these guys kind of put it aside because they didn't really have much success with their music. And then it was rediscovered by one of their sons who came across the music and was like, damn, who is this? Oh, yeah, that was me. That was me and some two other guys. We were in this band together called Death. This is awesome. So his own son sort of rediscovered the band.
That's cool.
What the documentary is about, looking back over it's, you know, decades after they disbanded, looking back on their newfound popularity, which is kind of strange.
It kind of reminds me, Ralph, a little bit of that award-winning documentary from last year, The Searching for Sugar Man, which was somebody who was, you know, rediscovered decades after they had recorded and now kind of has a little bit of a cult following going.
Here in this clip from the documentary, the band talks about almost scoring a record deal with Clive Davis, how close they came.
Brian told us, he said, you guys might have a record deal if you are willing to change the name.
That sent David into another place because he had his Death concept, and the concept went with the name, and the band went with the concept, and nothing could change.
David, in no uncertain terms, just said, tell Clive Davis to go to hell.
Okay, so David, our illustrious leader, turned the deal down.
Think there's any bad feelings about those guys about that story?
You turned Clive Davis down, really?
Yeah. It's one of those moments where if you had made a left instead of a right, who knows where your life would be today.
Black people.
Yes, they are indeed black people. Speaking of black people, Jamie Foxx stars in our next film alongside Channing Tatum. And this remake of Olympus Has Fallen, which came out
don't
last week.
Don't you diss my boyfriend's movie.
Oh, Lisa. White House Down is the name of it. It's directed by Roland Emmerich, who I no longer trust with any feature film. This is the guy who brought us Godzilla and 2012. And, of course, Independence Day was his first sort of breakthrough film.
But that was fun.
It's just.
This is fun.
Okay, we get it. You're going to blow stuff up. I get it. But everybody does it now. Everybody does it, Roland Emmerich. What else you got? You got any stories? You got any acting going on? I doubt it. Here's a loud clip from White House Down.
I said freeze! Shoot him! Don't shoot him! Shoot him! I can't wait to see this movie, and it's so loud for me.
It's so loud.
I love so loud music.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I heard Kenneth Turan review it this morning, and yes, he said it's implausible and silly, but he also said if this film had a sensible bone in its body, it wouldn't be the kind of fun it turns out to be. So get your popcorn and have a good time.
It's just dumb but
and
fun.
And check out Channing Tatum.
Do him. Yes. Do him and stop trying to sell his wares and just take your personal life into the bedroom.
It's as close as I could get.
Keep it out of the theater, would you, for God's sakes?
At least his defense, Ralph. How many hot chicks have we defended that were indefensible just
good
because
point.
They're hot?
That's true. And look, in this movie, if you've got to pick a couple hours to spend in a movie theater, I think you'd be better served watching a big shoot 'em up action thriller, which is pretty much you're going to get what you expect, than maybe, let's say, a comedy that falls flat. Because I think you'd be better served watching a big shoot 'em up action thriller, which is pretty much you're going to get what you expect, than maybe, let's say, a comedy that falls flat. Because that can make for an uncomfortable couple hours. And with that in mind, The Heat also comes out this weekend.
What? I thought The Heat was supposed to be
great.
Good.
A comedy that falls flat, because that can make for an uncomfortable couple hours. And with that in mind, The Heat also comes out this weekend.
What? I thought The Heat was supposed to be
great.
Good.
Oh, please. Does anyone have any interest in seeing this film?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Oh.
And with that in mind, The Heat also comes out this weekend.
What? I thought The Heat was supposed
great.
To be good.
Oh, please. Does anyone have any interest in seeing this film?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, my God. I've been waiting. I love it.
Well, also comes out this weekend.
What? I thought The Heat was supposed
great.
To be good.
Oh, please. Does anyone have any interest in seeing this film?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, my God. I've been waiting.
Sort of high-octane action stuff that doesn't get overwhelming and doesn't beat you over the head like a Michael Bay Transformers kind of deal, which keeps going on and on and on and on.
How can you love it? It's crap.
No, Lone Ranger's a good time. So we won't be around next week to talk about it, but if you get a chance next week to go see The Lone Ranger, I recommend it highly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Congratulations to Moises Barba from Paris, the one in California, not the good one. Nine Inch Nails tickets for you, and possibly in about 20 minutes when we do the grand prize drawing, Moises, you might find yourself in a helicopter going to that show at Staples Center on the 8th of November, and you might have a suite at the JW Marriott and the best seats in the house. That's going to be the grand prize drawing that you are qualified for, but one way or another, you get to see Nine Inch Nails. Don't forget, tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for that show. You can get the details at krock.com. Lisa, you know how Ralph will do Justin Bieber stories during the Showbiz Beat?
Yes.
And we just shrug our shoulders and go, why won't this kid just go away?
I know.
Like, who is allowing him to still move freely among us? Because he really has just, he's burned out. He's long exceeded his welcome. Well, it's the 13-year-old girls that are keeping him going. He can do no wrong with the Beliebers. And Jimmy Kimmel put that to the test with his outstanding segment that he does on his late night ABC show called Lie Witness News. This is the one where he goes out and he interviews people on the street, and it's generally about, hey, what do you think of the new iPhone, even though it hasn't come out yet, and they lie and say they love it. What about this imaginary band I just made up that's at Coachella, what do you think of them? And people never want to appear like they don't know what's going on camera, so they just lie.
Yes.
Well, he went to the Justin Bieber concert. He sent his people down to Staples Center, where Bieber was doing a couple of nights this week, and started asking the Beliebers about various things, all of which were made up about Justin Bieber. And the girls, there's nothing Justin Bieber could do, no matter how awful it is, that would get them to stop loving him.
PETA is upset at Justin Bieber because his new Bentley has tires made out of baby seals. Do you think they should just leave Justin alone?
Yeah, I think that it's like his choices that they don't need to criticize on. Because everybody else makes mistakes like that too, and they don't criticize them. It's just him.
PETA is angry at Justin Bieber because his new Bentley has tires made out of baby seals. Do you think they should just leave him alone?
Yeah, because he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, they're the king of pop.
Okay.
Wow, are they even hearing what is being said to them?
They just wanted to, hey, Justin Bieber, good or bad? The answer is always going to be good. Tires made out of the skins of baby seals. And they're like, yeah, he can do whatever he wants. And by the way, Justin Bieber's many things. Douchebag is one of them. He's not the king of pop, okay? That is what he's not.
No.
Now, Justin has said that because of his touring schedule, he doesn't have time to learn how to read. Do you think he needs to learn how to read?
No. He's perfect the way he is.
Illiterate and beautiful?
Yes, of course.
Do you think Justin meant it when he peed on the American flag?
No. No. I don't think he did. Just, you know, just being a teenager.
What do you think he meant when he peed on the flag?
Probably just as a joke, you know, to be funny.
Do you think it was funny?
Yeah.
Again, he didn't pee on the flag, but they're totally fine with him peeing on the flag. Why? Because he's Justin Bieber and he's cute.
That's stunning.
Is this incredible?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Do you think Justin Bieber meant it when he peed on the American flag?
I think he's just a young kid that's just kind of going through a phase, and I don't think he meant anything bad. My daughter would. My daughter was pretty upset, but she's still a fan of his.
Yeah, she was pissed when she heard about that.
She was pretty upset, but she still likes him a lot.
Over a game of cribbage, Justin punched his grandma in the stomach so hard that she had to go to the hospital. Is that okay?
It depends on the circumstances. Like, what was, like, happening before that?
Well, she was clearly cheating.
Well, he's a boy, and boys mess around a lot, and I don't think he meant to hurt her that much. Like,
okay, he punched, she asked, Justin Bieber punched his grandmother in the stomach and sent her to the hospital. What do you think? Well, he's just a boy. He's just playing around. What would he have to do for them to turn on him?
I mean, if baby seals being killed for his tires is okay, I don't really think there's anything he could do. He murdered his parents. Well, I bet they weren't very nice to him.
Right. Little more again. This is from Jimmy Kimmel's Lie Witness News.
What do you think of Justin's new tattoo?
I think whatever tattoo he gets is perfect on him, honestly.
This is Mike Tyson with a mustache.
Yeah.
And is it sexy on him?
Of course.
Here's Justin's newest arm tattoo. Do you think it's hot that Justin has Judge Judy tattooed on his arm?
Yes. Yeah.
So this one is very exciting. He got this last week. It take a look.
All right, so they're showing fake tattoos on Justin Bieber's body, and this one is the backside of a cat on Justin Bieber's stomach. And where the cat's butthole would be is Justin's belly button, okay? That's the tattoo that the little girls are now ooing and aahing over because it's so sexy. Why? Because it's on Justin's stomach.
I love cats, and I think it's so creative. He's his belly button.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you think Justin should be allowed to park his new Ferrari in handicap spots?
I think, yeah. His Ferrari's awesome.
What if a handicapped woman was trying to pull her van into the spot, but Justin Bieber was in that spot with his Ferrari?
I would actually make her wait, because Justin Bieber is Justin Bieber. He's, yeah.
Do you think Justin should be able to park his new Ferrari in handicap spots?
Yeah, I mean, he's Justin Bieber. He shouldn't have to walk.
Yeah, he's like God. Kiss the ground he walks on.
Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There we go.
That's
Jimmy Kimmel's
awesome.
Lie Witness News. We'll be right back with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman's up next here on Cure. Comedian Michael McDonald joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the one who sounds white, not the one who sounds black, who's going to be joining us in. He's also in that new film, The Heat. Different guy, Ralph. First show type of the Showbiz Beat now here on a Friday. What's going on?
Back in her long ago.
No.
And I've got such a long way to go. Make it to the border of Mexico.
Although, here on a Friday, I could listen to you do Michael McDonald songs all day and be pretty happy.
Wait till you hear my Michael McDonald cover band.
Can't wait.
Can't wait either. Get some gigs. Bring everybody out. Speaking of gigs, come see me and Kevin Smith tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood, California on Melrose. We'll be doing our patented hilarious drunk and stoner act, where he acts all stoned and I pretend to get drunk. Oh,
you guys are tremendous actors.
We sell it. I'm telling you, people really buy into it. Like, wow, it really looked like you were downing gallons of Jack Daniels while ranting about Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson.
10 p.m. tonight at the Improv. Improv.com for tickets.
The hour's coming.
This is the anniversary of the first nude scene ever in a film.
Really?
No kidding.
Very first nude scene ever appearing in a film was today. You want to guess what year the first nude scene in a movie was?
Well, I mean, look, I know how guys work, and as soon as photography was invented, they started taking pictures of nude chicks. So I'm sure it was the same thing with the movie camera.
Technology does seem to follow sex.
Yes, go hand in hand. I mean, I'm just trying to think
technology,
how
they apply it somehow to the naked female form.
I mean, when did movies, the 30s, right, is when?
Oh, I think the 1890s is when they started making films, isn't it, Ralph?
It was the late 1800s when they started the first technology to have projected motion pictures.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Then that's when it was.
Yeah, 1895. That's what I'm going to say.
1915.
Oh,
was the very first.
Wow, they waited a lot of restraint there, waiting 20 years to keep all the girls in the clothes on.
They had a hard time to find a girl to do it. I think that was the, that was the only holdup.
1950.
An Australian actress named Annette Kellerman stripped down for a movie called Daughter of the Gods.
Naked.
Yeah, she was naked.
I want to see it. Is it out on Netflix?
I don't know. Let's find it. Let's find that old 1915 naked Annette Kellerman. Oh, she's way hot.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Daughter of the Gods. It sounds like it was an attempt to make a very high-end movie, and they said, let's just slip in some booby there. What do you think?
Right, exactly.
Of course, there was a chain of sequels after that. Cheerleaders of the Gods, Stewardesses of the Gods, Nasty Nurses of the Gods, Behind the God Door, Debbie Does the Gods. So
This is a huge week coming right after half Christmas to have the anniversary of first nude scene.
Freaking
half
Christmas.
What a week it is.
While we're talking about nudity.
Oh, Ralph, it says the film is now considered lost.
What?
There are stills and publicity photos that have survived, but the film is no longer with us, I'm sorry to say.
Bean immediately looking up. Well, think of it. Think how old she is. If it's 1915, how much Bean would love it if she was still alive.
Right. Oh, my God. That's
like
a
good
point.
He'd like to see her nude now.
And it was a remake. Believe it or not, this is how long remakes have been going on in Hollywood. It was a remake of a 1902 Broadway play, The Darling of the Gods.
Of course.
How Why?
Speaking of sex and technology, you always look at porn on the internet. Anyway, how about you save the world while you do it? A group of dirty, stinky hippies have gotten together and created their own porn site called F for Forest, FFF. They don't say the F. There's an actual word there, but I can't say it. So it's called the group is called FFF, F for Forest. And what they do is they are running a pay porn site that raises money for ecological charities. So it's eco-porn.
I love it.
There's five or six participants at any one time, including a woman named Leona, who's constantly topless, they say. Dan is a guy who's always strumming his guitar, talking about how the world needs to be healed and how the spirit and soul of humanity must be liberated. And then what they do is they take a camera crew and they go around Berlin, Germany, cruising the streets trying to convince total strangers to have spontaneous sex in front of the camera. We're looking for people who enjoy sex and nakedness, says the group. For about $15 a month, you can feel good about saving the rainforest and also get your porn on. So, sounds like a good cause.
A long time ago.
Boners for a good cause, people. Yep.
I have to say, it's a tough sell getting people to pay for porn, though.
I agree, but so far they've raised over $500,000 for the rainforests.
Okay.
So if you have to pay for your porn, do it for a good cause, won't you?
Sure.
Save a tree frog. Spank it to these people. That's their
That
motto.
Must have been a moment of party.
Since we're talking about Broadway plays turned into movies and vice versa, Bean was just mentioning that that nude scene was based on a Broadway play. They're taking a Woody Allen movie and turning it into a Broadway musical. Bullets Over Broadway. Remember Bullets Over Broadway?
Well, that makes perfect sense.
John Cusack?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Don't speak. Remember Diane Wiest in that? He plays a playwright, and she is an actress in that film. Very, very funny film. Zach Braff, apparently, will make his debut on The Great White Way, starring as
Zach
the lead.
Zach Braff is not allowed to do anything but make that goddamn movie that he shook us all down for.
Well, he's
going
to put
that on
the back
burner. What's he doing going off Broadway?
Oh, you know, he's just taking private jets everywhere on your money and just...
Seriously.
Drinking pina coladas and stuff. He doesn't care about you.
Doesn't he have a responsibility to those of us that donated to his Kickstarter to get that movie made? Shouldn't that be his priority right now?
Busy being on Broadway.
He's on our dime now, though, Ralph.
He'll play the John Cusack role. Vincent Pastore, Big Pussy from The Sopranos, is also in the cast playing the mobster whose girlfriend, he insists, gets into the production. So it could be very funny, I think.
Yeah, a lot of times you bring us news of movies being turned into Broadway shows that I don't get it. This one sounds perfectly made for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lisa's boyfriend, Channing Tatum, is in the news.
Yes. Who'd he save?
He didn't save anybody. He's one of the stars, of course, of Magic Mike. And it looks like the sequel that is upcoming, there is a sequel in the works, he could be the director of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean he's not going to be in it?
No, he will be in it.
Okay.
But Steven Soderbergh, who directed the first one, has been talking to him. He'll be producing the second one, and he's been after him to direct the project. It'll be the first film he's ever directed, and he said he's strongly considering it because it is his story. It's based on his true life experiences of his work as a stripper before he became a popular movie actor.
Hummer, like nothing else.
Yeah, that's what Lisa would like to give him at the premiere.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks, a guy who knows something about turning movies into Broadway shows. He's 87 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates is 65. Mary Stuart Masterson celebrates her 47th birthday. John Cusack, we were just talking about him.
Yes.
Also 47 years old today. Skater and TV personality, friend of the show, Rob Dyrdek celebrates his 39th birthday. Tim Norwin of OK Go is 37. Mark Stormer of The Killers, he's the bass player for that band, he's 36. And Kelly Pickler, country singer, she was an American Idol contestant, and she had a tremendous amount of inexplicable plastic surgery. I don't know why she did that. She was adorable, but now she looks like she wants to, I guess. 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the world-famous Kerouac. All this week, we've been giving away tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center on November the 8th. And by the way, if you did not hear the Trent Reznor interview when he stopped by on Monday, please go to Kerouac.com or KevinandBean.com and check it out. It is archived there for your enjoyment. Everyone who won Nine Inch Nails tickets qualify for the grand prize drawing. We're going to do right now private helicopter ride to the show, suite at the JW Marriott, and the best seats in the house. I hate to give any kind of responsibility to Beer Mug because he'll probably screw it up, but Beer Mug, who is our grand prize winner?
Congratulations to Carrie DeMarco of Thousand Oaks.
All right!
Woo! Way to go, Carrie. We'll be in touch. Nice job. All right. Inspiration is an interesting thing, Lisa. I don't know what it is because I'm as many of us are here at K-Rock, a music fanatic. What is it that makes somebody so great and then the switch just gets turned off and they can never write another good song?
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's sad when that happens. It happens a lot.
It happens a lot. You have that brief moment of inspiration, or in the case of Neil Diamond, you have decades of inspiration where you everything you write is great. I mean, this is a guy who goes back to the early 1960s with songs like Solitary Man and then Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon and Red, Red Wine, Kentucky Woman, Cracklin' Rosie, I Am, I Said. The guy just had hit after hit after hit after hit. And then starting in around the early 1980s or so, all of a sudden, everything sucked. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's lucky that he's got the kinds of songs that continue to be played all over the world. He's still a huge attraction on the road. People will always love those 70s and, you know, 60s, 70s and early 80s songs. But ever since then, every time he comes out with a new song, you're like, seriously, don't even know. I
mean, what? Do Caroline.
Right, exactly. Well, the reason I bring all this up is Neil Diamond is in the news, and we are about to be inflicted with another new song. He has written a song called Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. It even has a terrible title, and it is a new patriotic song that he wrote that I think was inspired by the terrible marathon bombings in Boston. He is going to be unveiling it on the 4th of July, two live performances, one at a Nationals baseball game and then on PBS for the Capitol 4th, which is their special they do with all the fireworks and the National Symphony and everything like that. So Neil Diamond has a brand new song, and we thought, you know, we've got a relationship with Mr. Diamond. Let's get him back on the horn, see if we can find out more about the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. Hi, Neil.
Kevin and Bean. How are you doing today, guys?
Well, we're doing fine. Congratulations on, I guess, on the inspiration that found you writing another new song.
Well, thank you. And thank you for that very hurtful intro. Well,
I apologize. It's just that your material from the early days holds up so well.
Thank you. And that,
right. But then you look at your songs, especially from the 90s and then the decade after that, and you go, wow, this can't be the same guy.
Well, it's possible that my best writing has been behind me. But right. I like to think it's all ahead of me. And I like to think that, as you were mentioning, inspiration is the thing that really helps an artist find himself.
Well, you said this Boston Marathon bombing really, really affected you, as it did so many Americans, and that it's a song that you had to write, and you wrote it, and it took you 6 weeks to write and record. So you spent quite a bit of time on this one number.
Well, I was so moved by the people of Boston that the inspiration was everywhere. And I decided I had to write them a song to try to lift their spirits the way they lifted mine that time I sang Sweet Caroline at the baseball game.
Right, which was a beautiful, beautiful thing that you did when you volunteered to show up at the Red Sox game, right? All right, so the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
The Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Right, that's what I said. What's it like, Neil?
Well, it's a song that I wrote. In fact, I was so inspired by the people of Boston, that I wrote three songs, all called the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Really? Wait,
three different numbers with
three
the same
different
title?
Songs that I was so inspired that three songs sprang from my mind.
Okay.
And it made me so happy to be singing for these people that three different songs came out of me, and I am still working in the studio deciding which one I will finally decide on as the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Can we help with that? Maybe you could give us a preview of what they sound like?
Sure. Three brand new songs by me, completely original, never heard before, inspired by the people of Boston. Once again, the title is The Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Never Take Us Down. All right, the great Neil Diamond here on the Kevin DeBeach.
Give you a little taste of each. The Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. They'll never take us down because we've got the freedom song. The freedom song. They'll never take us down.
Right.
Freedom song.
Okay. Is that it? That's all you got on that one so far?
They'll never take us down. The freedom song. They'll never take us down.
Okay,
the freedom song.
Got it.
That's the first one.
Okay. Isn't that just you singing over the karaoke bed to Love on the Rocks?
How dare you, sir.
It just sounds so much like
a brand new song inspired by the people of Boston.
Okay,
one
so
of
that's
many songs that have just come springing forth from my creative consciousness.
All right.
To lift the spirits of people of Boston up.
Understood. So that's the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. That's take one.
Option. That's one
option. All right. What else you got?
I've got another version of it I like a lot. I can't decide which one to go with, but I think this one's pretty catchy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Freedom Song. They'll never take us down. Because we've got the Freedom Song, they'll never take us down. The Freedom Song.
You must have more lyrics than that, Neil. That can't.
Freedom Song. They'll never take us down. The Freedom Song.
Okay, I think we get it, actually.
They'll
Neil.
Never take us down. They'll never take.
Thank you, Neil.
All of us down. The Freedom Song.
All right, again, that's just you reworking Forever in Blue Jeans.
The Freedom Song.
Okay, Neil.
They'll never take us down because we've got Freedom Song.
Neil, come back to the phone.
Yeah, hello.
Neil, come back to the phone.
That's another version. I like that one a lot.
You haven't written any lyrics for you're just repeating the title over and over again.
That is not the case at all. It's about freedom.
Right, I understand. They'll never take us down.
They'll never take us down.
Yes, I get that.
I don't think you understand what it means to the people of Boston.
We're out of time.
I've got one more song for you.
Okay, one more. Then we got to go.
Song. The Freedom Song. They'll never take. Never take us down. Take.
Okay, they'll listen,
never
Neil.
Take us down.
It's just America. That's all.
It's the Freedom Song.
Okay.
They'll never take us
never
down.
Never take us down. All right, Neil Diamond, good luck with the new song. Good luck with the appearances on the 4th.
Got a song about freedom. They'll never take us down.
Please don't write any more songs,
singing
Neil.
Songs about freedom.
All right, we gotta go.
And about the fact they won't take us down.
Happy holidays, down. Neil. We'll talk to you.
That's well, they'll never take us. Cause we got the freedom song. Singing about freedom.
Okay, we're out of time.
And about not being taken down.
I vote for song 3 if it'll get me off the phone.
Freedom.
Come on. Really?
We're fine. Come on.
Oh, that song made me sick.
How about some good news once in a while?
What a horrible day.
You are a bummer.
I know.
Seriously. We're all just trying to have a good time here. Summertime? Yes. Come on. Hey, Michael McDonald.
Good morning.
Yeah. Comedian, actor, director, writer, the face of Mad TV, and one of the stars of the new film, The Heat, opening up this weekend. Good to see you. Now, last time we talked to you on The Kevin DeBede Show, do you remember? You were
of
on
course.
Your phone. Because
yes.
You were locked in your garage? What happened?
I live in one of those houses that's built on basically an unsound cliff in an earthquake zone. So it's really smart. But when I moved in, one of the first things the inspector said was, oh, you live in a coffin. I go, what? And he goes, oh, we call these coffins. If there's ever fire or anything, there's only one way in or out.
Whoa.
And since then, I've made some changes to the house. It's now a little bit more accessible.
But what happened that morning was you were supposed to be here.
Well, the power goes out all the time.
Right, that's right.
Power goes out in the canyon all the time. Mm-hmm. And everything is operated by electricity.
So you can't get out.
Including your garage door.
Right. And as it turned out, if I had maybe climbed down the side of the hill and walked around outside and opened the garage door from the other side, I probably could have gotten myself out, but not in time to make the show.
Gotcha.
Have you installed rope ladders? Is that what you've done?
No. We changed the house a little bit, added some stuff.
Like,
you know, doors and stairs. Access, I believe it's called.
Escape ramps.
I believe it's called, complying with safety requirements.
Okay.
What a crazy concept. Well, we're delighted to have you. It's great to see you. Especially, it's great to see you this weekend because I can't get over the cast of this movie the heat. This must be one of those things where you show up for work, and of course you're working with Adam Ray, but Nathan Cordry's in the film, and Bill Burr, and Tony Hale, and Marlon Wayans, and all these people, and it just has to be like a comedian's kind of dream to hang out on a set like that.
It really was, although all my stuff was with those no-names, Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, you poor thing.
But it was great to see the movie because I didn't get a hang out with a whole lot of the cast, the rest of the cast. And it's one of those movies where every single person in every, whether it's just a walk-on or whatever, they deliver in such a huge way. And it's a testament to them, but also to Paul Feig, the director, who directed Bridesmaids. And everybody has a chance to do something really great.
Now, did you know him before? What was your in to being in Heat?
I've known Paul casually for a long time. I've auditioned for him a lot, and I've always wanted to work for him, but it never happened. And I almost, when I went into audition, I almost turned my car around and wasn't going to do it because I thought, I'll never get this part.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it was originally written as a Russian mobster, and then at the last minute they said, oh no, it's going to be Boston, and so bring your best Boston accent. And by the way, the casting director is from Boston. They know a real one from a fake one.
And you're from Fullerton, so what the hell do you know, right?
Yes. The Boston of Orange County, I guess.
I like the last minute aspect of it as well, so you can really work on that accent.
Right. And as it turned out, I ended up getting the part, much to my surprise.
Adam Ray was here yesterday,
yes.
your co-conspirator.
A very funny
He's your
comedian.
Your fellow bad guy. And he said that he had to play, you know, the douchebag nightclub owner, and that he had Grotta's hair and the beard and everything like that. Did they have to rough you up too? Because I can't see you, Michael McDonald. You're pretty clean cut. I can't see you necessarily pulling off the badass.
Well, thank you for your confidence in the movie, The Heat, that opens this Friday. I don't know. I hope it's not what I'd normally do. And so that's why I wanted to do it, is it was a chance to do something different. And mostly, I just showed up, I think, the first day hungover on the set, and they go, you're good. You're good to play bad guy.
Tell me what happened with the phone book.
Oh. So I'm not giving anything away because it was in the trailer, but there's a scene where Melissa and Sandy are interrogating me, and Melissa throws a phone book at my nose, at my face. And you know, it was one of those things where when we're preparing for the scene, the prop person comes up and shows you the phone book or whatever you're going to be hit by. If it's a gun, they show you that it's fake, whatever. So they bring this phone book and they go, here is the prop phone book, just so you know. And I felt it. I kind of thought like it was made of like almost foam. And I thought, this is going to look fake.
Because how do you throw that?
Right.
It has no weight to it.
Yeah. And also, I kind of thought, you know, this might even hurt worse, you know, because it's just big foam as opposed to floppy paper. I think of a phone book. It's like, it's paper. So let's use a real one. And then Melissa was like, we should rehearse it. I'm really worried about hurting you. I'm like, you're not going to hurt me, Melissa. You're Melissa McCarthy. I know it's coming. If it comes from my, you know, nose, my face, I'll turn. Like, it's going to be fine. Well, do you want to rehearse it? Why rehearse it? Let's just shoot it in case it works. It's not going to be a big deal. Trust me. I'm super confident. We roll. And when Melissa first, like, when I thought she was going to be like 15 feet away when she threw it, but she was like 3 or 4 feet away. And Melissa commits so much, and she's playing such a tough lady. She hurled the phone book
harder
than any dude I know, and it landed me square in the nose so hard that I thought for sure my nose is definitely broken. And I was so stunned, I thought, is there blood everywhere? What, certainly something horrible. And then I realized, like, holy crap, I hope everyone nobody breaks, because I want this to be the only one.
Yeah.
And Melissa, as soon as he yelled cut, Melissa runs over, absolutely terrified that she's hurt me, and she slides on the phone book and falls. And rather than, and I'm still convinced my nose is broken, everyone runs, Melissa, oh my God! So you know instantly where you rank in that moment as I'm holding my
nose. Is that the one and only take, and we see it in the film?
It's the only one. It's in the movie. It's in the trailer.
Oh, I'm excited to see
it's
that.
It's the only one, that we shot. Thank
Is it shocking to you that your nose wasn't broken now that you know what that phone book felt like?
I'm not convinced it wasn't, and, you know, they'll hear from my attorneys.
You might still have a concussion at this point, right?
Right.
That's, by the way, it couldn't be any better that you, the setup, you know, the condescending, I know what's
cocky.
Going on here, baby.
I was so cocky about it, and I mean, I for the whole day, I was holding my nose like a little
you
baby.
You sort of deserved it.
I felt like I had it coming, literally.
Yes.
That's awesome. The film is called The Heat. It's in theaters this week, and our guest in studio is Michael McDonald, a very funny man. You can see him on stage at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. You don't always get the chance to see Mr. McDonald locally. You can buy those tickets for Thursday, July 11th at 8. They're available now through icehousecomedy.com. More with our guest in a moment, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Friday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It's the last Kevin and Bean Show before the 4th of July vacation. So frankly, Michael McDonald, we're not caring very much about today's program, so take it away.
All right, here you go, everybody. First of all, what are you doing for the holiday? Anything? For the 4th of July, it's coming up.
Oh, Bean's having a huge party.
Yeah, I'm having a party. I got relatives coming in all over the country. I am miserable. I'm trying to figure out a way to not show up at my own party. It's my dad's birthday on the 4th of July.
Damn him.
I know, right? And why can't I be an orphan and be lucky like other guys? So he's coming in for a big birthday party with lots of family and everything like that. So you know what it's like. It's not a vacation when people are coming to your house for
like
an event that you're throwing. It's like a job. So the minute the show ends today, now I go into overdrive with some serious work.
And the troops in Iraq think they have it tough, huh?
Right, exactly.
Sure.
Michael McDonald is here. He is playing at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena Thursday night, July 11th. Tickets are on sale now and start at only $20 at icehousecomedy.com. Let me ask you this, Michael, because you do a lot of stand-up.
Yes.
And, of course, acting, directing, writing, you do a lot of stuff. But the further away you get from Mad TV, and you'll always have fans who know you and love you from Mad TV, but the further you get away from that show being on the air, are you less likely to ever want to do any of those characters again? Because people have fond remembrance of them, but I imagine you don't think about them or care about those characters anymore.
I definitely don't think about them. You know what's funny? People, one time somebody, like, they'll shout out sometimes if I'm doing a show, they'll shout out like a character from Mad TV, or maybe it'll be Stuart is one that they shout out. And somebody asked me one time, like, what's that feel like? And I say, it's like being an old retired whore. You know, like if you, you know, as whores age, as I have aged,
Lisa,
you know, you'll
up.
Always be a whore. You'll always be a whore to your Johns from way back when. So I don't hold them responsible. I kind of view it as part of who I am. I embrace it, and I'm happy to do it. But yeah, as time goes by, hopefully, you know, other things come to the fore.
Right.
Sure. Have you been involved? It seems like almost every comedian that we've had in the last year or so has been involved one way or another in either the word police or the political correct people. They've gotten some sort of heat for something. You know, we've heard so many different stories just this year with, whether you can tell rape jokes on stage, for instance. That's one that has created a lot of controversy. But it seems like all the time comedians now are getting in trouble. There's no such thing as this is a – I can say anything zone on stage like it used to be.
Yeah, it's scary to me because I think, you know, comedians, like you're in the business of free speech too. You want to make sure that you can say anything. And I personally believe that it really depends on what you can get away with. And I'm always trying in my act to see what I can get away with, and I think that's why most of us got into comedy anyway.
Right?
Misbehave.
Seem like you,
You can't get away with much because it's no longer just you on stage in front of 200 people. Because now somebody seems to
be
cell phoning
it,
and the next thing you know, it's out of context and online for people who aren't fans of yours and weren't at the show and didn't hear the 10 minutes that came before that, whatever they saw, and that that can cause trouble.
Yeah, and it also depends on, you know, what part of the country you're in, too. You know, context always matters. But you're right. Now with technology, you're almost always performing on a national audience. I don't know. Like, maybe sometimes it brings a lot of press to you. So I see some comedians, it seems like they're trying desperately to offend in order to get people to talk about
to
it.
Notice
like,
it.
Like,
yeah.
I've noticed you can't, the quote-unquote, you can't say rape jokes. I see more comedians making rape jokes now than ever. It seems like
really?
They'll throw rape into, I went out to get the morning paper and I was raped. Hey, kids. Like, you know, I think they're just trying so hard to, maybe they're trying to rebel against the rule. I don't know. But I personally am in favor of being able to say literally any word. I say a horrible word, a C word, in my show.
Yes.
But I try and put it into context. as to
conservatives are people too, though. You know that, right?
It's the word conservative. they are. I'm related to many, many conservatives.
You've been following Paula Deen. Speaking of words that you can't say anymore, you've been following her. Did you see her teary confession on the Today Show yesterday?
I did. Well, here's a weird little fact. I know her a little bit.
What?
Yeah,
And why can't you get her a better makeup artist?
As I said, I know her a little bit, and she. I went to her house, and I spent the night at her house with.
No,
I'm friends with Kathy Griffin, a comedian, very funny
of course.
Comedian.
Yes,
who I used to do every once in a while. I'd do an episode of her show, My Life
sure.
on the D-List.
I remember you on the D-List. Yeah.
She would cart me around. We went to Iraq one time. She said, "Hey, you want to go to Paula Deen's house?" I said, "Absolutely," and I went, and we spent the night, and. She could not meet a nicer, warmer person. Mm-hmm. And but I do know that she's a very Southern woman. And
older.
Of a certain age, right.
And I can't imagine that she's – whatever she said was out of meanness or spite. I wasn't there. She didn't do it in front of me. But just to see this sort of thing explode – with somebody that you happen to know a little bit, it's
right.
You know, I hate to see. She apologized, so I sort of feel like she's doing her deal with it, and I hope.
And it was so long ago, too.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, you know, and,
did she
and
have a
woman,
lot of black help at her house?
Well, she at a restaurant where we went. Also, obviously, it's Savannah, Georgia. There's a lot of black folks around,
right?
But I mean, everybody seemed happy to be there. Obviously, you know. Also, the woman who brought the lawsuit that triggered this was a white mm-hmm. woman who didn't like the way jokes were being bandied about at the restaurant. I think that was the source of it all. And there's another thing where I go, if Paula Deen is getting trouble for jokes at her workplace, like I say everything horrible all the time in my act to my friends in phone calls, emails, like I'm dead. Why don't I just roll, you know, tell me where to send the checks.
Yeah, we have great sympathy for you doing that for a living because obviously we work in a similar environment. And I can't tell you how much it has changed with what we are not allowed to say off the air now in the office to crack one another up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, now jokes,
among actual friends.
To say words.
Everybody thinks it's funny.
Words can cost you money, livelihood, whatever. I mean, it's amazing to me. I now feel like I have to preface everything. Well, this, just so you know, this is for the purposes of comedy and humor. I meant in no way offensive, in a light tone.
Yes.
You're a horrible bitch. You know, or whatever.
We found out that legally that doesn't work.
Really?
No.
How'd you find that out?
Well, I can't tell you. But well. We know that doesn't work.
Everyone's going to have a lawyer with them at all times.
Yes.
Yeah, your opening act is no longer going to be an up-and-coming comedian.
It's going to be my lawyer.
Your attorney who's going to get up on stage and give 50 minutes of disclaimers.
Right.
Like on Viagra commercials on TV.
Yes, and you're going to have everybody sign like a waiver at your shows. It's crazy.
That's not a bad idea.
This is the voice of Michael McDonald here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In our remaining moments, don't forget, you can see him at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. That's on July 11th. Tickets are on sale through icehousecomedy.com and in the new film, The Heat, this weekend. Have you had people walk out on you in your show because they, hey, that's the funny man from TV, and then they show up and maybe it's a little rougher than they expected?
No, I haven't had that happen at all.
Because we do hear that from people, you know, Bob Saget and people like that, who just their people have the wrong image of what they're like now.
Bob
Saget,
though, was on Full House, you know, and then he talks, you know, drops a lot of F-bombs and stuff. I was on Mad TV, which was
clean.
Foul. What are you talking about?
It was clean in terms of language that you can't use on television.
Well, because he was on TV, but the inference was there.
Yeah, I mean,
you knew what
know.
They would have said if they
pretty,
weren't on TV.
Yeah, it was pretty rough in spots.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's thinking I'm going to come out and do the Howdy Doody show.
Right, exactly. Well, we can almost guarantee you'll be offended then if you go see Michael McDonald at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. Sounds like fun. Tickets through icehousecomedy.com. Glad you made it in today.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the movie. We can't wait to see it. It sounds awesome, dude.
It's you know, I honestly say it's really good. It's very funny.
Congratulations. Very thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Win your way into the K-Rock screening of The Lone Ranger later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I'm very disappointed you did not bring in your spoons as advertised to play The Lone Ranger theme for us. Okay, that's fine. Time for the showbiz beat now here on a Friday morning. Here's Ralph.
Love me some Lone Ranger. Well, boys and girls, children of all ages, sad news. James Gandolfini's funeral was yesterday. It was a true Hollywood affair. Four different eulogies were given, one of them by Sopranos creator David Chase, who really gave a wonderful speech. Talked about how they connected immediately at work because they both came from similar Italian-American blue-collar jersey backgrounds. And Chase told an interesting story about Gandolfini, about one time where James seemed depressed on the set and told David Chase, "I want to be a man." And Chase said in his speech, "I saw you as a boy, James, as a sad boy, amazed and confused and loving and amazed by all that. And that was why I think you were a great actor, because of that boy who was inside. You were a good boy."
Aww.
Yeah, it's a sweet, sweet send-off. All of his Sopranos castmates, many of them, rather, were there. Aida Turturro, who played his sister so brilliantly on that show, was the first to arrive, according to reporters. But shortly afterward, Edie Falco, of course, played his wife. Carmella showed up, and then Joe Pantoliano, Dominic Chinese, Steve Buscemi. They all showed up. Even New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made an appearance. So it was a wonderful send-off to a man who, by all accounts, was not only a brilliantly talented actor, but a good friend and a nice guy. So sad to say goodbye to James Gandolfini. And even sadder, I think, now that it's going to be one of those things that we're all shocked and saddened by the news. But it'll fade. And then, you know, a couple of years from now, they'll say, "Oh, remember James Gandolfini? He's dead now. Whatever happened."
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, every once in a while, like Michael Clark Duncan, another example of somebody who just seems so young and vital and talented, and then it's so shocking when they go like that.
Meanwhile, let's talk about important things like porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West and their baby North.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Reportedly, Kardashian and West and North have all moved in with Kris Jenner at her house, which has sent Bruce Jenner packing again. He's left the house again.
I thought he was gone.
He was gone, then apparently came back. Now he's gone again.
Why don't Kim and Kanye have their own house?
Because she needs her mommy. Kim needs her mommy to broker her deals with photos of the baby. And
doesn't it seem like
how to sell the used diapers, where to get those on the market and stuff.
I can't imagine you'd want, I can see why Kim might want to be in with her mom to get some help with the baby, but you think Kanye would go out and buy a house in an hour.
However, I heard the Jenner clan have great croissants.
Oh, there you go.
That's the reason he's very, very attached to his croissants.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
K-Rock microphones were there. One of the reasons Bruce left was not only because he must hate his wife so much, but because he can't fly his remote control helicopters around the house because of the noise.
Oh.
They're afraid he'll wake the baby with his fleet of remote control helicopters. So he's taken his helicopters and packed his bags and now is headed to his place in Malibu for the rest of the summer.
He was a pussy.
I just want to give Bruce Jenner a hug. I just want to find him, and I want to give him a big hug, and I want to sit him down and say, "Bruce, you won the decathlon. You did something. You're somebody. Don't get back in there, Bruce. You tell her. You be a man." But alas, I feel that will never happen.
I feel terrible for young people who only know Bruce Jenner as this poor old sad woman just shuffling around the house with no dignity.
The surgically altered lesbian who lives with Chris Jenner. Yeah, I know.
There was a time, kids, where he was on the cover of Time magazine and on the Wheaties box.
He was
an American hero.
He was Superman. He could do it all. He was the world's greatest athlete.
Yeah. It's crazy.
No, he sits there.
He should have died young. That would have been the best case for him.
Just flying his helicopters in the backyard. In his sweatsuit.
Lesbianism about to take over our community. I'm talking about young girls.
Wearing his medals. This is sad. Jennifer Love Hewitt's uterus may be getting her fired.
Really?
She's pregnant, you know.
Oh, I didn't know.
And she's insisting on writing her pregnancy into the client list, the show she has on Lifetime.
Ooh, not a good fit.
And she wants the real-life baby daddy's character to be the father of that baby on the show as well. She's saying, "I'm not coming back." She is dating one of the other actors on the show, and she wants him to be the father and to write this into the storyline and to have this baby and this family become the thrust of the client list, which is about a woman giving happy endings to dudes.
Right.
Not
right.
exactly a good match with the family drama.
Hmm.
She is an executive producer on the show, but like every TV show, it's got a bunch of other people who are in charge, and they think that idea would turn into a disaster. Ratings have been slipping on the program as it is, and Lifetime has not renewed the program, so everyone's worrying now that her plan would kill the show. So a lot of people may be out of work over there on the client.
Well, that's too bad. I watched two episodes, and I just thought it was stupid.
I heard too much talking, not enough happy ending.
Yeah.
That's what I had always heard about. It sells itself as this very sexy drama.
She's like a therapist.
Yeah, and she helps them out with their problems. Yeah. You know, if I was laying on the table like, more lube. That's what I'd be doing. And here's something we didn't even consider when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of gay marriage here in the state of California. Maybe now Cam and Mitchell can get married.
Oh, on Modern Family.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Executive producer Christopher Lloyd told Entertainment Weekly, it's a real possibility.
I think it's a different Christopher Lloyd.
The same name. Yeah.
It's certainly something we've been contemplating. And now we're thinking about it in ways we haven't in past seasons.
Christopher Lloyd said. So we may see them next season getting married. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Sounds like a very special one-hour Modern Family on the way.
Keep it for sweeps, people. Keep it for sweeps. Tonight, Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I are doing our show at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We'd love to have you come out and join us. They just told me about a half an hour ago that we're almost sold out. So if you want to get your tickets, go to improv.com and get them now. We'll see you tonight at 10 p.m. Today, be nice.
No, thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These are the people who were born today on the 28th of June. Kelly Pickler, 27 years old today. Mark Stormer of The Killers is 36 years old. He's the bass player for that band. Another bassist, Tim Norwin of OK Go, is 37. Rob Dyrdek's 39 years old today. John Cusack, very talented actor, 47 years old. Mary Stuart Masterson is 47.
What does she do now, Ralph? Of course, I best know her from Some Kind of Wonderful, but what has she been doing in recent years?
Fried Green Tomatoes, remember that?
Yep.
She was great in that.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, she does TV from time to time, a lot of TV movies and things like that. She keeps her hand in.
She's a good actress.
She's a very good actress. Kathy Bates, also an excellent actress, 65 years old today. Do not want to see her get any more jacuzzis, but she's very
not
talented.
Not naked, no. Yeah.
And comedian, actor, director, legend, Mel Brooks celebrates his 87th birthday today. If you get a chance, there was a special on PBS, or maybe it was HBO. I can't remember. I think it was HBO, called Mel Brooks Make a Noise, and it was basically him telling about his life story.
It was fascinating.
Great storyteller and a fascinating life about how he came up in the business. He's 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's got to be the song of the summer. That's the one that we're going to hear years from now and go, oh, yeah. 13. I remember that. Daft Punk, 2013. Yeah. That was the song.
Summer of 1978.
That one, too. Get lucky here on the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Ralph, you did an interesting story yesterday.
Finally, you're admitting how talented and interesting I am.
It was just one.
You suggested it might be a good phone topic to hear from our listeners who have experienced what Brad Pitt and Angelina may be going through right now if the story is going to be believed. Let's tell you about it, and then you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, and you tell us if you and your fiancé came to blows when trying to decide on who gets invited to the wedding. What was the source of the problem, and how was it resolved? Because as we talked about yesterday, if she wants somebody to come to the wedding and he doesn't, there's no compromise. Somebody wins and somebody loses.
Right. Well, I guess you could trade off relatives and friends.
I think that's
all right,
what has
if
to
you
happen.
Get to bring so-and-so, then I get to
everybody gets a number
whoever.
Of vetoes across the
right.
board.
And yeah.
Then everybody feels
it's
happy.
It's like picking a jury.
So who? What's going on with Angelina
for dodgeball.
And Brad Pitt? What's the problem here, Ralph?
The problem is Brad and Angelina reportedly are finally going to tie the knot, and they're working on the ceremony. And Angelina has said, I want it to be a very classy affair, dignified. So some of your harder partying buddies are not going to be welcome to the reception, like Jonah Hill, for example.
Quentin Tarantino, who is a loose cannon
for
sure.
Who likes to knock back a cocktail now and then. Philip Seymour Hoffman, oddly enough. I think he's back on the wagon. I think he's a safe invite. Maybe he'll get an invite now.
Oh, okay.
George Clooney apparently has made the list, but he has been told that his behavior must be reined in. He can't be buying shots of limoncello for everybody at the bar.
So All right. So the deal is, so the wife puts down the law and she says, look, I don't care that you're friends with Quentin Tarantino. That's fine. Go out and party your ass off. But this is a wedding and it's my wedding and my people are going to be there and I want it to be a classy thing and I don't want it to turn into one of your frat boy parties like you do.
I don't want one of your drunken evenings where you all get together and reenacting Glorious Bastards.
Fair enough.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you found yourself in the same shoes as these two, where you've got a guest list and you've got it, you know, they're just people like everybody else. They've got it printed out and they've got it on the kitchen table and they're checking people off and they're putting X's over here and check marks over there. And they're fighting over these last few people, like who gets to come to the wedding and who doesn't.
Yeah, that I think is also a red flag. If that's been happening at the beginning of your marriage, you're in for a long, long, troubling hall.
Yeah, but don't you, I mean, you can't help it if you have family members who are wildly inappropriate people.
Yeah, but
right?
They're family.
Right.
So the nature
but
of the beast
really
of a wedding is...
do you really want drunk uncle trying to pick up 12-year-old at the wedding?
No, first of all, you're creeping me out, Lisa. But second of all, no, you don't want that. Nobody wants it, but they're family. That's my uncle, and it's my wedding, and everybody from my family is going to be there. And
but
so
they can ruin
you pay the
your
price.
Wedding.
Families suck. All families suck. But what are you going to do? You have to invite your family, and you have to invite your close friends. And there's social and familial obligations that must be respected.
If you're gonna start, I'm not marrying you.
If you're nitpicking and you're going to start breaking people down, who can come, who can't come, I say, well, then the heck with you, I say.
I think it's your wedding.
But it's whoever the other person's wedding, too.
You know what?
If it's your wedding, then go off to Vegas and get Elvis to be your witness and just knock it out of the chapel. Because the minute you make it an event, that means that family and friends and their feelings are also factored into the equation.
I just don't see the point of having people you don't like there. Now, obviously, if it's your husband-to-be's brother and he's just a little off or whatever, that's fine. But
what if he's a lot off? What if the brother is a terror? What
a
are you going to do?
Yeah, then,
your fiance's brother's
I'm
a terror.
I'm kind of hoping my fiance is a little on the fence, too.
It's his brother. But, of course he has to be there. And everyone's just going to have to suck it up and just deal with it. And you got the good brother to watch the bad brother and say, keep an eye on him. And if he starts to throw punches or something, drag him out, won't you? Do a solid.
I think the important thing to remember, and again, we're going to go right to your calls here at 1-800-520-1067 if you've been in this boat, if you've had this situation unfold in your life. I think that here's what needs to happen is it's my wedding too. And if this person, whether you like them or not, is important to me, and I want them to be there to see me get married, I think you have to give that person a pass. I think you have to respect that it's important enough for me to be there that, oh, well, if it gets a little messy later in the night. That's how I feel about it. I don't think there should be vetoes if somebody is seriously wants that person there. I think it's their wedding, too, and they should be allowed to, whoever it is. Now, when you start getting into ex-girlfriend,
you didn't have a big wedding, right, Bean?
You didn't have a wedding.
No, we eloped. Yeah. We eloped, right.
And Lisa, your wedding was not a big affair,
it was
right?
70 people at the most.
I'm probably the only guy in the room here who had a big wedding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there were some people who we knew were going to be hard-drinking party people who were going to be an issue.
And you invited me anyway, and thank you.
Exactly.
See, Lisa, you wouldn't have been able to go to the wedding if Ralph put your own policy in effect.
And most of those people were my groomsmen. So they were very close friends of mine who my wife just knew were going to lead to an evening at best of just serious over-drinking and drunken behavior.
And possibly having the police involved at the end of the night.
Yes.
And all right, so how was it handled?
Yet she said, look, I know these are your friends, and I'm just going to hope that they'll be on their best behavior, and you know, maybe we can you can have a little word with them before they come, but of course, they're your friends, and they're welcome. So she had concerns, but never in a million years would she have dreamed of saying, you cannot invite these people.
That's a good
really
one.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
And she was right, and I got wasted at my wedding, because I had one friend who just kept following me around with a liter of Jack Daniels, who kept filling my glass every time. It was half empty. And no, it wasn't Kevin, my buddy Tommy. And I passed out and don't remember a large part of the evening towards the end. But it was just the nature of our wedding. We wanted to have a good time. We wanted the people that were close to us to be there. And just
let's take one call real quick, and then we'll come back with the rest of them. Let's make it Cassie. She's on line one. So Cassie, you were getting married. You and your husband had what disagreement over the guest list?
Well, we traded siblings. He didn't get to invite his brother, and I didn't get to invite my sister.
Because each of you despised those people?
Yeah, his brother is like an alcoholic and a drug addict, and we just knew that he'd be like stealing stuff from the wedding, like gifts and money. So we both kind of mutually agreed not to invite his brother. And then my sister is a very outright, very open homosexual, and his family's extremely Christian. So I decided not to bring my sister, who would probably make out with her girlfriend at my wedding.
Okay, but wow. tell me about that.
Recipe for disaster your families are.
Tell me about that, though. How do you break it to your sister? I mean, how do you say to your sister, I'm getting married, I'm your sister, but you can't come to the wedding because you're too gay?
We eloped.
Well, see, there you go. You avoided the whole wedding situation.
That's the solution right there. All right, Cassie, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your Brad and Angelita wedding dispute moment. We'll talk to you right after this on K-Rock. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll introduce you to a fascinating chapter in rock and roll history, a documentary about a band called Death. That's on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph was talking yesterday in the Showbiz Beat about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. If the story is to be believed, and most stories about that couple are not to be believed, they're having a disagreement over who gets invited to the wedding. They're finally going to get married. Angelina says no to Quentin Tarantino, no to Jonah Hill, no to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Doesn't want the wedding reception to turn into a party.
And Clooney's been leashed and collared and just he's reduced to the shell of a man. If Brad Pitt was smart, he would dump Angelina Jolie and marry George Clooney. That's what he'd do.
Right? Because now he can.
It's perfect life. It's a perfect life. Just hang out in Lake Como and just bang all the girls you want together.
Great idea. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You had fights over who to invite to the wedding. So let's squeeze in as many as we can here, and we'll start with JR. He is on line two. Hey, JR, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
So kind of like the same situation. My wife was not wanting the reception to turn into a party. Well, we ended up getting married while I was still in the Marine Corps, and I wanted a bunch of my Marine Corps buddies to come, and she was adamant about them not coming, but I ended up actually winning that battle, and not only did everything turn out fine, but my wife ended up having, I think, a better time. They ended up being like the life of the party.
See? Men are smarter than women. That's the moral of the story.
That's what we're getting from this?
Well, okay. that's just a fact.
Did you tell your wife, hey, you know what? My buddies are busy, I don't know, protecting your freedom. Did you mention that to her?
Oh, yeah. I dropped everything on her, made her feel pretty guilty, and she was... Like I said, she ended up having a better time anyway.
That's right.
Exactly. Ooh-rah. Thank you very much.
Ooh-rah.
For your service and for the call, JR. Yeah, his friends weren't over in the jungles fighting Charlie so they could come back and be denied a piece of wedding cake. Come on.
I don't think anyone's in the
Let's try Carissa. Carissa.
Yeah.
is on line four, and she's next. Carissa, you and your hubby had a fight over the wedding reception and the guest list. How come?
Yes, I'm actually in it right now. My wedding's December 21st, so we are currently in that phase of trying to figure out the wedding invitations. I don't want to invite my aunt. He thinks I need to because of the family, inviting family, but my aunt recently turned on the family and talked crap on my mom, and I don't want any part of her around or her negativity. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
Well, don't invite her.
Yeah, if she's sort of disenfranchised from the family, that's an easy out. You know, everyone will be happy if you don't invite her, including your family.
Yeah, I'm not going to have alcohol at my wedding, and I'm nervous my friends are going to bring flasks.
Whoa, hold on a second here.
Time out.
Carissa, wait a second. Look, you know how painful it is to go to somebody else's stupid wedding, and now you want them to do it sober?
I know, and they're going to be there from 5 to 10 sober.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Well, don't have a wedding that lasts till 10 if you're not drinking.
Don't have a wedding if you're not drinking.
No, I've been to weddings that nobody
horrible
drank.
Horrible weddings where nobody drinks.
It was fine, but they didn't expect
horrible.
Us to party till 10.
Carissa, yeah. what's yeah, going on?
Why
are
no
you a recovering? Are you a recovering addict or something?
No, I know. Everyone asked me that. No, we're religious. We don't drink. We're LDS Mormons.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
Well, then just go to the temple and just you two do it by yourselves and leave everyone else out of it.
Look,
you're an awful person.
You don't have to ruin our lives because you've ruined yours. That's the message here. All right.
I don't understand.
Great.
That's ridiculous.
Waiters going around with trays of Jell-O for everybody. Who needs that?
Long time Kevin and Bean listener Paul Lee writes in, I think, the defining statement on this issue. My personal viewpoint is that family doesn't count for squat in this situation. The standard of measure ought to be, would you invite that person based on their behavior if they weren't family? If not, don't invite.
That's stupid.
Because He goes on to explain, because the it's family argument cuts both ways. The a-hole relatives don't care that you're family enough for them to start acting like asses. You being family doesn't seem to matter to them, so why should it matter to you?
That's well, I'm a with Paul. Good
Must
point.
Be life, nice to live in a vacuum, but the rest of us have to live in the real world. So get your head out of your ass, and this is how the world works.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, and we got your Lone Ranger tickets in about 30 minutes or so. Get a chance to see the movie at a K-Rock screening before it opens up for the 4th of July weekend. Speaking of movies, Ralph Garman, your old friend Scott Mosher is on the phone.
Mosh.
He's a big-time producer guy. Hey, Scott. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I've been hearing you talk about this documentary, Scott, for so long now. It's so awesome that it's finally out and people get a chance to see it.
Oh, I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, I've been talking about it for a long time, driving people crazy, and I'm just excited.
Well, no, it's called A Band Called Death. It premiered at the 2012 Los Angeles Film Festival, and now it is finally in theaters. You can see it at the Cinefamily on Fairfax in Los Angeles for 1 week starting tonight. And the band Death, whom the documentary is about, is going to be playing live following the screenings tonight and tomorrow night, which is pretty amazing. I know they were at Amoeba last night, too. Did you show up for that, Scott? Did you go by and see them?
You know, I'm in Dallas on a job, so I wasn't able to go. So thanks for bringing up, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah. Me.
Burn.
Let's talk about why Death is the greatest band no one's ever heard of, because this is one of those stories that sounds like somebody made up for the movies. It's so remarkable, Scott, but let's assume people listening have never heard of Death. What do you want them to know out of the gate?
It's three guys in Detroit in the early 70s, these three black guys in the world of Motown decide that they're going to play rock and roll. And they, in this really small room in their house, their mom lets them play from 3 to 6, and they drive their neighbors crazy and play this fast, furious rock and roll that's basically punk rock. But they were just, it was, the world wasn't ready for the music they were doing. They were just kind of rejected by everybody. And so the music sort of falls and it literally sits in an attic for 30 something years. And I would love to pitch the whole story, but I want people to see it because the story of how the music, comes to the world is so awesome that you got to go see the movie and find out.
And they just got, I mean, they just got understandably discouraged because they couldn't get any kind of traction. This music was just too far out. Remember, this was years before the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and everybody who kind of made punk popular. So they're playing to people who just don't want to hear it. They're also African-American. People expect them to be playing R&B music. They just can't find an audience. And like so many others, they get frustrated with the music business and just quit, right?
Yeah, and the name of the band did not help.
Yeah, exactly.
Three black dudes play like really hard rock and roll called Death in the early 70s just didn't fly. And so, yeah, they got discouraged and they tried a couple of other bands, but it just didn't come together. And, you know, it's a story of, it ends up being really heartbreaking for one of the brothers, the fact that the music never takes off, but they never stop, you know, he never stops believing in the music. And how important it is, and it's. I mean, the music's amazing. I love the music, but I can recommend the movie. My dad, whose musical tastes don't go beyond Merle Haggard, he watched the movie and he just loved it because it's a story about the music, but it's really a story about family and faith. And it's multi-generational. It's really amazing.
What is the reaction of the guys, especially the brothers, been? Scott, since the music has sort of resurfaced and there's all this interest about them now?
You know, those guys are so humble and amazing. It's been awesome to work with them. And, you know, it was really just an honor to tell this story that is almost too good to be true. But, you know, they always say that while this ride is incredible, it's somewhat bittersweet because one of their brothers, David, is not there to see all of this happening. This thing that he sort of knew would happen in his heart, and he's not there. So for them, it's like this amazing ride, and you know they're carrying him with them as they go along. But it's a little bit bittersweet. But those guys are like over the moon. You know, they're just so excited that everyone's finally hearing this music after all these years.
And David was kind of the driving force of the band, right? He was the one with the real vision.
Yeah, David was the oldest brother, and he was the guitar player, and he was the guy who came up with the name Death, and he was the leader of the band. And, you know, the name Death is not just like them being like, yeah, metal. They had a real reason behind it, and there, you know, there's a whole concept to it, and he was the guy who was making all the decisions.
This is the voice of Scott Mosier, the producer of a film called A Band Called Death that we're talking about, an excellent new documentary out about a band from the early 1970s that may have invented punk rock, and the rest of us didn't know it was going on at the time. What did you have access to in terms of either film or photograph from back in those days? Somebody so underground, was there much for you to choose from to put in the doc?
It was a process to sort of gather enough material. I mean, it's the hard part when you're talking about if it's a famous band, you got crap loads of stuff that right. You can put up there. But these guys were sort of, nothing ever took off. So we had to dig through, you know, they sent us as many photos as they had or video reference that they could dig up. But we were going to their relatives and their aunts' houses and sort of digging through boxes of photos to get as much material as we could so we could tell the story.
Let's play a little, just a tiny clip of one of the songs so you can get an idea of what we're talking about here. Again, this is music from 1973. The band is called Death. I think we're going to hear a little bit of Freaking Out. And imagine what this would be like in the context of living in America when Seasons in the Sun was the number one song in the country. Listen up.
Why is my head spinning? I'm in a dream. It's that time to flip. Why all this light popping up in my face? Or am I freaking out, freaking out?
So talk about being ahead of your time, and then I guess after a number of years, there's a cult following that develops, and people start selling their 45s on eBay for $1,000. That must have just blown their minds when they found out about that.
Yeah, they released one single. That's all they ever did. They released one 45, and while they had sort of, the band had broken up and all stuff, this album had, over the years, become this rare collectible. And, you know, they were just shocked. Like, the drummer, Dennis, when he heard about it, he was like, the people were paying $800 to $1,000 for the record. He was just like, I got a box of all of them. You know, you can have them. Like, you know, because they had no sense of its value or what it was. It's really incredible.
You know, when you listen to the music even now, Scott, the production value and how tight they were as musicians, it really shines through.
Yeah, the album, which is called For the Whole World to See, you can get it on iTunes, there's seven songs that they did. They got a chance to do a demo at a real recording studio, but they went in there and like the energy that those guys put out is just incredible. And it's, you know, they just went in there and tried to, you know, make the walls come down. It's really amazing.
Well, again, the film is called A Band Called Death. You can see it tonight with the group performing afterward tonight and tomorrow night at CineFamily on Fairfax in Los Angeles. The film is going to be showing there for a week. And then what are the plans after that? Is this going to be turning up on video on demand, or are you going for a wider theatrical release or what, Scott?
Well, you know what? It's already on iTunes and video on demand, Ralph. If you go to a band called death.com, Drafthouse Films is the distributor, you can actually see it on iTunes, YouTube, Google. It's out right now. So if you can't make it to the theater, which we are rolling out nationwide starting Friday and then all through July to different cities, you can get the cities and locations. You get the cities and theaters at a band called death.com. But you can also, if you can't see it there, you can see it online right now.
Great. Thanks so much for bringing the story to our attention and for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, man.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah.
How much time do we have?
Okay, we got plenty of time. This is bad news, but someone's got to break it to you. They're going to make a big screen live action version of Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Woo-hoo!
Stop it, Beer Mug. Yeah. You are part of everything that is bad, including this. Look, this show was just barely watchable when it was a cartoon for kids 20 years ago.
Now, wasn't Captain Planet just a way for television stations to burn off some of their public service time by saying it's a programming about the environment so it doesn't, you know, it counts toward our licensing? You know what I mean? Like, they made it up. It was like a BS thing to kind of not put something more boring on at that time?
I don't remember that being the case. I think they were trying to cash in on what was sort of the eco-friendly craze at the time. Everybody was getting very recycling conscious and that kind of stuff, so they thought superhero who's into saving the environment could tap into that for kids and also tell an important lesson. It was brought to you by the folks who created the Inspector Gadget, so I don't think they were too worried about the station fulfilling their obligation for public service
license, right?
They were trying to create a, you know, a merchandising opportunity.
Right. Well, it was a terrible idea, Van, and it's even worse now.
Well, now it's going to be on the big screen. Now it's going to be, you know, live and stuff. And you can see Captain Planet grow shrubs and clean, make sure that all the glass is in the recyclable bin.
When the five powers combine, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet.
Go Planet! Worst catchphrase ever. So they're going to make this a big movie. Sony Pictures. They're going to do it. Because they're out of ideas, apparently. There's no other ideas. Oh, you know, the last one they had was... What do we got left in the bucket over there? Captain Planet. All right, well, we've got nothing else. We're going to have to make it.
That's a terrible idea.
I wonder who's going to play Loot and Plunder.
Oh, me too. Was that your favorite villain?
Yeah, he was bad. And Captain Pollution was bad. That was like Captain Planet, but he was Captain.
Yeah, he was a little too on the nose for me. I mean, we get it. Okay, you're Captain Pollution. Duke Nukem. He was another good one.
Yep.
Dr. Blight.
Dr. Blight.
Verminous Scum. Verminous Scum was the name. Verminous was his first name. Scum.
Very creative.
S-K-U-M-M. Verminous Scum.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Look, maybe they'll do it as a hilarious comedy. I could see if you made sort of like an ironic, super campy version like that. It might pay off, but... My concern is they're going to try to play it straight. You give it to Michael Bay, and he'll make Captain Planet come from the sewers, and a rat will raise
Bad him. Idea.
Bad idea, indeed. Amanda Bynes is at it again, using her favorite adjective in her tweets. This time, Zac Efron is the target of her disdain.
Now, what did he do?
I don't know, but he's got an ugly face. I know that much from her Twitter account. Zac Efron has an ugly face.
Look, whatever the beef is she has with Zac Efron... That is an ineffective insult in this case, right?
I now am dying to get Amanda Bynes to call me ugly. Now I am. It's like a badge of honor. I want to find some way. I want to tick her off somehow enough that she will call me ugly via a tweet. I would be so pleased. I would frame it and put it up on my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So far, if you're keeping track, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Rihanna, Drake, supermodel Christy Teigen, her father, her mother, her sister Jessica, Dr. Drew.
That's right, Dr.
All,
Drew.
All ugly. Jenny McCarthy.
That's right.
Ugly. So
former Playboy Playmate of the Year, by the way, that Amanda Bynes is calling ugly.
Yeah, Christy Teigen, too, by the way.
Right.
AmandaPlease.com.
Amanda, please, indeed. And I don't know how I feel about this. I guess it's good casting. Hollywood rumor is that Hunger Games, the final Hunger Games... story, Mockingjay, because we had the Hunger Games, then it was Catching Fire, right? It's the second,
right.
And then the third one is Mockingjay. There's three books.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to
split up Mockingjay into two movies.
A la Harry Potter.
Twilight.
Fire hasn't come out yet, right?
Right, but they are currently in pre-production for the final films in the series, Mockingjay, which is going to be split into two films. And it sounds like Julianne Moore is in talks to play the president.
Hmm.
District 13 leader Alma Coyne is her name. I think she was also a Captain Planet villain, wasn't she? Alma Coyne? You spent too much money, Alma Coyne. We're going to get our buddy Scott on the phone. The superheroes sound like they could be villains in Captain Planet. Cole Burns is the human furnace. Jennifer Lawrence, Scott Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth will already return, as will Philip Seymour Hoffman. So, Julianne Moore, I guess, joining the cast. Look, she makes everything better. How can you go wrong, right?
Terrific actress.
And, again, we're celebrating the anniversary of the first nude scene in a film. 1915, the movie was Daughter of the Gods. Annette Kellerman stripped down for the first time for a nude woman ever to appear in a theatrical commercial motion picture. And the rest is history.
Oh, yeah.
I did the story earlier, and Doc stopped me in the hallway and said, Annette Kellerman was a champion swimmer from Australia. She invented synchronized swimming. And I said, this is why I come to work every day.
That's right.
So Doc will give me those little bits of wisdom.
Of course, Doc had a file on the first woman to do a nude scene on a film.
Hey, don't. You and Doc are very close, Bean. I wouldn't make fun of him, because that very easily could have been thanks for that info, Bean. If it had come from either source, it would have been just as legitimate.
Look, you guys have long said that Doc is me plus 25 years.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks is 87 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates turns 65. Mary Stuart Masterson is 47 years old. John Cusack, also 47. Rob Dyrdek.
Rob Dyrdek.
No, Rob Dyrdek.
Rob Dyrdek.
Rob Dyrdek, Kevin.
Rob Dyrdek.
39 years old today. Tim Norwin of OK Go is 37. Mark Stormer of The Killers is 36 years old. And Kelly Pickler from American Idol. And now she's got her own country career because, as I've always said, anyone can have a career in country music. She is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the showbiz beat.
World famous K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show, giving away tickets for the new Johnny Depp Army Hammer film. Ralph, I didn't hear you gasp when I said your boyfriend Armie Hammer's name.
I have no breath. He takes my breath away.
It is called The Lone Ranger. You get a chance to see it on the 1st. It opens everywhere on the 3rd. Now, Ralph, you've been saying for a long
time. Seen it.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. I know you're bragging.
You've
been saying for a long time. I said, so does this mean the Westerns are back? And you said, no, Bean, the Westerns back. Never went away.
Back. Pishaw with back. They've never gone away. Western is a time-tested genre that is as American as jazz music, my friends. It is quintessential Americana.
Well, we are going to find out how our listeners do with the Westerns with a game that we are playing for these tickets for the Lone Ranger that we call Best Westerns.
Can you name the Best Western? Can you name the Best Western? Can you name the Best Western? Best Westerns. Can you name the Best Western? Can you name the Best Western? Can you name the Best Western?
Can you name the Best Western? Can you name the Best Western?
Can you name the Best Western?
Awesome.
Can you name the Best
Western?
Can you name the Best
Western?
Hi-ho, Kevin and Bean!
Thank you, Omar.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, what are we doing here? How's this game played, please, Ralph?
This is my point. It's the Western has been with us for all the years. There may be a bunch more now, but there have been great Westerns forever. And so what we're going to do is play you clips from some of the great Western films. And if you're a real fan of Westerns, you should be able to listen to these and say, oh, I know that, and then just tell us what it is.
Okay. All right. Good luck, all the listeners on hold. Let's go to Andy first. He's up on line one to get us going with Best Westerns. Andy, congratulations for getting through, being on hold, and surviving Omar's intro. You ready to play?
Hey, Ralph. Hey, listen,
hey, Andy, if you can name this Western, you will win tickets to see the advanced screening of The Lone Ranger. Here is your clip. Listen carefully.
It's a pleasure working with you.
Well, you son of a motherless goat!
Who are you? Wherever there is injustice, you will find us. Tell us, we will die like dogs.
You will die like dogs? No, we will not die like dogs. We will fight like lions.
Okay.
Because we are...
We don't need to play the entire film. It's okay. But...
Who are they?
That would be the Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos!
Well done, sir. Andy, you hang on. You've won your way in. Up next, contestant number two is Tim on line two.
Tim, you know your Westerns?
I do.
All right, sir. Here's a clip for you. See if you can identify it.
Okay.
Are you really going to kill Billy the Kid?
Does a horse where she pleases? Yeah, if he's man enough to come around here.
Is that the gun you're going to shoot him down with?
You know, sir, I do admire you, and I sure would like to touch the gun that's going to kill Billy the Kid.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
What do you think there, Tim?
Is it Blazing Saddles?
Oh, no, sir. It's Young Guns. Young Guns. That's a young Emilio Estevez as Billy the Kid there.
How about that? Thanks for playing, though. Sorry, thanks for listening. Parker is up next on line three. Hi, Parker. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. We're playing Best Westerns. Good luck.
Parker, here's your clip. Name it.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
But it's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Parker?
That is Tombstone.
It is indeed. You're
nice.
Daisy if you do.
All right, you've won tickets to the Lone Ranger. Way to go. Let's try True. We got a man named True on line four.
Yep.
All right.
Where were you earlier in the week where we were doing people with effed up names? You should have called us then.
You know, I did, but they didn't let me through. They said I wasn't weird enough.
Yeah. We didn't think you was your real name. We thought that was false.
It's
not. We didn't know if it was true or false.
True, you know what the game is. We're playing Best Westerns. Listen up. Here's your clip.
I don't deserve this. To die like this. Deserves got nothing to do with it. I'll see you in hell with your money. Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Dude, what do you think?
It was kind of muffled. Was it Good, Bad, and Ugly?
No, good guess, but that was The Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood classic.
Sorry
about that.
Thanks for playing, though. By the way, Clint Eastwood made his name doing westerns back in the 60s, right? That's where he kind of came from?
Started on television with the Western Rawhide TV series, and then he went on to make those spaghetti westerns in Italy, and that's what made him a star.
All right, we got time for a couple more callers. How about Marco? He's on line five. He's up next. Hi, Marco. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Marco, here's your clip of a classic famous western.
Would you make a jump like that you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
One of the great movies of all time.
Marco, what say you?
Blazing Saddles, I'm guessing here.
No, sir. That's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
What a gracious loser you are.
Yeah.
That's probably the most famous scene from the most famous Western, right?
Certainly up there, if it isn't, yeah.
All right, let's try Brad. He's up next. He's on line six. Hi, Brad. You're playing for Johnny Depp, Army Hammer, the Lone Ranger. Good luck.
Okay. Can we depart this afternoon?
We? You are not going. That is no part of it.
You have misjudged me if you think I'm silly enough to give you $50 and watch you simply ride off.
I'm a bonded U.S. Marshal.
That weighs but little with me. I will see the thing done.
What's the name of that movie?
Brad, you know that movie?
I do. It's True Grit.
True Grit, yeah. Indeed.
Look at that. Done, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out on a winner. Thanks for playing Best Westerns.
Way too quick.
Beer mug Kent doesn't have that kind of reaction time.
I had to fast forward to the end. Here it is.
Can you name that Best Western? Can you name that Best Western? Can you name that Best Western? Best Western.
Best of the 80s, right here on the World Famous Carrot. Oh, wait, that's the latest from Muse. It is called Panic Station from the second law on the World Famous Carrot. It's crazy how retro that song is, isn't it?
It is in excess. It's like they found a lost in excess song.
Yep, exactly. Time for the final look at the showbiz for the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I say let's make this leisurely, Ralph. I say let's go out on a bang and give the kids their money's worth and give them lots and lots of extra effort on this one is what I say.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Nope.
Come on. Let's just go.
For the kids.
The kids don't even like us. Showbiz news is found all over the place. Today's celebrity birthdays. Really, I can barely bring myself to get through it. Barely.
Just breathe.
Vacation,
relax.
Right around the corner. Sure. I'm the only thing standing between us and vacation.
But that doesn't mean we can't have a good time now, right, buddy?
Just the highlights. Like, just.
All right, Duck Dynasty has a new member.
Okay, next story.
Come on, the Duck Dynasty, the Robertsons. People love the Robertsons.
I bet he has a beard.
Aha! Aha! How much? How much would you like to bet?
Who's the new member of Duck Dynasty?
How much do you want to bet?
I retract my wish.
I thought you did, you coward. Alan Robertson is joining the Robertson clan on their Duck Dynasty TV show. He will join them, not for fame or fortune, says Alan, but for God. Because Alan is a full-time Louisiana pastor. And he says he can serve a lot more people by being on television and preaching the word than he can just with his small-time pastorship there.
So wait. Is he a member of the family?
Yes, he is.
And he has previously not been part of the show, and now they're bringing him into the program.
That's right. He will be handling public relations for his parents and for the other family members on the show, as well as being in the cast and on the TV show. He says he looks quite different from the other guys. He is clean-shaven.
Hmm.
One of the only members of the Robertson family who is. So, a new Duck Dynasty member. Very exciting. Very exciting to see.
Praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus.
What?
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
So that should get the message out, I think, to Duck Dynasty viewers. That'll be a great show. Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be starring in the Magic Mike sequel. Yes, there is a sequel in the works. It was a very successful film. Steven Soderbergh, who directed the first film, says he's been pressuring Channing Tatum into directing the sequel. So he will star and potentially direct the film.
Okay.
It'll be the first he's ever directed. And Channing says he's strongly considering it because it is his story after all. Basically, the first film was based on his career as a young stripper back in his pre-stardom days. And so this might be a good film for to cut his teeth on as a director. Hmm. He seems like a very bright guy, but he's a pretty good director.
He absolutely does.
So, yeah.
I mean, he is one of those guys who, you know, was easy to discount because he's just another, you know, hunky actor.
Mm-hmm.
But just charming, and he seems smart, seems nice, very talented, yeah. Done a lot of different kinds of movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the real deal.
O-F me.
He's no Armie Hammer, I'll tell you that much. Boy, that Armie Hammer.
Wow, you are so in love.
You are smitten.
He's the real deal right there.
You used to mock me for my crush on Zac Efron.
Well,
now you know what it feels like.
Because that's barely a boy, let alone a man.
Exactly.
It's like a girl with male genitalia, basically. If you're going to be with a man, be with a man.
Right.
Be with the freaking Lone Ranger.
Yes, I'm gay.
Hey, what? Farrah Abraham's back in the news.
Did she ever leave?
She says that her fans are desperate to know more about her life.
No!
She claims that
she's mistaken.
They all admire her strength.
No!
How she's handled herself through all the bad press.
No!
And so she's going to reward them with a brand new docu-soap series.
No!
No word whether it's going to be on television or on the internet, but she has a working title, and I'm not kidding. This is what she's going to call it. Finding Farrah. From Teen Mom to Adulthood, Where Is She Now? I would say closer to Teen Mom than to Adulthood if I was looking at the scale.
Where is she now? She's the same place she was yesterday.
Yeah.
Airtight. She's gone anywhere. By the way, she posed topless within days of getting her breast implants.
Her D-cups, yes.
And it was such a yawn, wasn't it? Like, nobody cared.
Well, the best part was looking at the sutures underneath.
Oh.
That was the sexiest part.
If you look closely, you
could just see the cat gut poking out the bottom of her boobs.
God.
It was very erotic.
Maybe wait a few weeks? Is that what you're suggesting, Ralph?
Yeah.
Let the healing begin.
She said she's also, of course, still planning her very successful restaurant chain. That's their end game. The end game is just to open up the back door and then just go right into restaurant touring.
Sure.
Which I don't think I want to eat in a restaurant from somebody who's no longer capable of tightening their sphincter.
Understood.
It must be a health code violation someplace.
Where's she going to be in 5 years? I wonder about her.
Welfare?
No, I think she'll have a long and healthy career in porn.
You do? Really?
I do. I think she's got the damage for it. She's got all the skills necessary.
She found her calling.
She's
just doesn't know
calling.
It yet.
Yes. And she can yodel out her butt, so she's got that going for her. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Pickler from American Idol. She's 27 years old today. Mark Stürmer of The Killers. He's the bassist for that band, 36 years old. Tim Norwood of OK Go. He's also a bassist, 37 years old. Rob Dyrdek, our buddy.
Rob Dyrdek.
39 years old today. John Cusack. I don't know where the Scott came from. 47 years old today. Can you tell I'm limping?
I'm limping
across the finish line of the marathon. I've rolled my ankle. It's been 25 miles, and I'm just want to finish.
Your nipples are bleeding?
Yes. Did you see Veep? The episode where she's running in that race?
Yes, I did.
And Jonah says his zipper is like a cheese grater on his penis. That's
right.
What I feel like.
Awesome.
Mary Stuart Masterson is 47 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates turned 65. And legendary comedian, director, writer, actor, can do it all. Mel Brooks is 87 years old today. Have a great 4th of July holiday, everybody. Stay safe. Stay away from Kevin. I guarantee you at least 3 fires will be attributed to him by the end of the holiday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Go ahead and hit that song. By the way, before we go, Doug Kriegel, any advice, any final last-minute advice for people?
Set as many fires as you can. The brush is nice and wet.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This must be what the kids call a booty call.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Roll another
must have been a moment of party.
Just like the other one.
That's science.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
I need another hit.
Also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
Roll, roll,
roll,
roll,
roll,
roll another one.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
Just like the other one.
I don't even know what to say about this boy.
This one seems to be about.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I don't have another sense.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
I will have sex with your...
Just pass it around.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
I am so big.
Hey, you! When is this over?
Everyone go home now. The party's over.
I was told I'd get a meal.
Well, that's our show! I thought it was pretty cool!
Hey, one more thing.
Nope!
Excuse me, everyone. There's a killer shark octopus hybrid headed this way. So please leave the marina in a timely fashion.
So it's over? That seems unlikely.
Is everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Could not be less happy, but I want it to be over more than anything.
Please enjoy.